The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
It's the Bob McCowan Podcast, brought to you by Bet Rivers. Download their online casino and sportsbook app today.
Well, there's good news again for Toronto Maple Leaf fans.
What's that?
They don't play tonight.
They don't play tomorrow night either.
Yeah. No, wait, they play tomorrow, don't they?
No.
They have 3 days off.
They do play tomorrow night. I apologize. It's 2 days. Well, they have a two-day break rather than one.
I understand, but today is day two.
Yeah, I've lost track. It's been so disconcerting for the last couple of days. I've lost track.
Well, you've been very upset because you picked the Leafs to beat Boston, and as per usual, you were wrong.
Well, it's not over yet, Bob.
Yeah, I know. And you picked Winnipeg to win, too.
So did you, I think. You did, too, I think.
No, I don't think so.
I'll tell you what, it's
the Maple Leafs. I didn't pick anybody.
The Maple Leafs.
I said you were wrong. That's why I said.
Which you love saying.
Well, I'm always right when I say it.
As much as there is angst in Toronto, there is unbelievable angst in Winnipeg. They thought that this was going to be the year, but it isn't. And they have both teams have underachieved in this playoff series. And more importantly, Bob, both core groups, you know, the big four in Toronto, and it's called the Central Six in Winnipeg. Those are the guys that have not delivered. They have delivered. And that's the frustration, I think, of both fan bases.
Well, let me say this. In Winnipeg, at least they are playing against a very good team.
Yeah.
A very good team. And I don't know about you, but I would have made Colorado a slight favorite in that series. Now, the Toronto Maple Leafs are playing against Boston, who are an ordinary team.
I think they're a team built for playoff hockey.
Maybe.
I think they know how to play this style of hockey. They know how to grind. And by the way, Bob, they're getting great goaltending.
Well, that's
great,
true.
Great goaltending. Jeremy Swayman has become the linchpin to the success of the Boston Bruins. And by the way, 35-year-old Brad Marchand has been spectacular in this series. Spectacular. And that's the frustration when you see.
So why did you pick the Toronto Maple Leafs to beat them?
Because I was Canadian. I wanted all. Well, first of all, I think that they have the capability to win. They do.
Who?
Well, Toronto and Winnipeg both have the capability to win.
Any team has the capability to win. That's a stupid thing to say.
No, it's not stupid.
Yes, it is.
But the ability to elevate your game at this time of year, neither team has been able to do it, which is, I'm sure, frustrating.
Well, the Jets are
at Vancouver.
Very good team.
Vancouver has won three games in this series with three different goaltenders because their goalies all get hurt.
I know.
And their leadership group, their core players, have been spectacular at key times enough to win three games with three different goaltenders. It's amazing what Vancouver's doing. And you know what? Connor McDavid, Leon Draisaitl, Evander Kane, Matthias Ekholm, Stuart Skinner, their group in Edmonton has delivered in spades in being up 3-1. I think that's when you see how well both Edmonton and Vancouver play, when you're a Winnipeg fan or a Toronto fan, you have to be sitting there saying, well, why can't our team play like that? Why can't we do that?
I've given you the answer. Winnipeg is in against a very good team.
Yeah,
it's Boston's not that Winnipeg has played poorly, really.
Oh, no. Boston, I tell you what, last two games, I don't swear often in this show. Last two games, Winnipeg shit the bed. They've shit the bed.
Well, that's because you're a Winnipeg fan.
No, no, I'm not a fan.
Yes, you are. Yes,
no,
you are, John.
I'm rather objective. You are a Canadian fan. Canadian fan, yeah, I am. But they have not played well. The Bob,
Winnipeg
they
is in Canada,
well.
John.
They did not play well the two games in Denver. They just didn't. And inexplicably, Connor Hellebuck is having a difficult time stopping the puck. And he's going to be voted as the best goalie in hockey. So it's frustrating. Hey, we'll talk more and dig deeper into the Maple Leaf situation, too, with our pal Richard Deitch, his regular weekly appearance on the McCowan podcast with Shannon and McCowan after this.
Hi, this is Bob McCowan for BetRivers.com. Hey, if you're looking for a sports book or casino app, you should check out the BetRivers Sports and Casino app today. Play all of your favorite casino games for real money anywhere and anytime. Plus, get in the action with each sports game with hundreds of sports betting options. And get ready to feel like a VIP because you'll earn both loyalty level points and bonus store points on every real money wager you make. You must be 19 plus, available in Ontario only. Please play responsibly. If you have questions or concerns about your gambling or someone close to you, contact Connex Ontario at 1-866-531-2600 or speak to an advisor free of charge. BetRivers.com.
Beginning of the week means an appearance by Richard Deitch on the podcast. How was your weekend, Richard?
Pretty good. Went to the Blue Jays game on Sunday.
No, what was that? What was that experience like?
I should just go boo. There's a lot of Ohtani booing.
They didn't give up for 3 days, did they?
They didn't. I mean, listen, they won. So I went far and away. I went to the best game. Good crowd. This is my third time now at the stadium this year, or at least second time. I'm sorry. The improvements in the stadium are really, really strong. It is a great place to watch a game. It's expensive. It's not a cheap endeavor at all. But to get back to, the team, and we've certainly been talking about on this podcast for the entire season, they can't hit, and it's a real issue. They can't score more than 4 runs a game. They're relying, once again, in my opinion, over-relying on their pitching, and it's not sustainable. You're not winning a World Series, obviously, with this offense, but I'm not sure you're getting into the playoffs with this offense. So
no, you're not getting into the playoffs.
Yeah, that's the issue right now. And I don't think there's a real solution other than they have to hope Vladdy and Bo start to hit. Like, there's no one's rescuing them. Like, it has to come internally, and we'll see. But, Sunday's win was great, but, you needed you needed 4 highlight catches from your outfielders, right? And you needed a great pitching result from Gausman. It's just, that's asking a lot.
It's been the same thing all year, right?
It has, exactly.
Every game is the same.
Totally. Now, again, they do have a good pitching staff, unquestionably. Barrios looks like Cy Young type of pitcher. Gausman's come around, which is nice. He looks like he's returned.
Kikuchi's been good.
Kikuchi's been okay, yeah. Bassett's been up and down so far, and then obviously they have 5th starter issues. Yuri Rodriguez looks pretty good. I don't know how long he'll be able to go in terms of pitch counts and stuff, but it's, again, the problem is you cannot win in Major League Baseball averaging 3.5 runs a game. I looked at this the other day. They're like 27th in runs or something like that, 28th. I mean, like, way down in Major League Baseball. And this is not a small market team. This is a major market team. And so, again, I'm sure if you're John Schneider, Ross Atkins, Mark Shapiro, your thought is that Bo and Vladdy are eventually going to hit and the lineup will be better. We'll see.
Richard, I was actually thinking of you this weekend when the Maple Leafs were playing so bad, because when you came to Toronto and started to contribute and do everything you did at Sportsnet and the radio station, the Jays were on a high, the Leafs were on a high, and the Raptors were on a high.
Raptors were really on a high.
And now, I mean, the Jays are a game under 500, and we're looking at the possibility of not even being a wild card. The Maple Leafs played their worst period, I think, in a decade. Decade on Saturday. And the Raptors are non-existent.
Yeah, so this is your way of saying, John, that I brought luck initially, and now I've become bad luck, basically.
No, just that, it's 1991, 92, 93, my wife and I moved from our home in Calgary to Minneapolis, St. Paul, and then to Toronto. And for those 3 years, all we did was go to World Series championship games. And so my wife figured that everywhere we went, there'd be a World Series championship. I'm just thinking that when you came here, you thought, wow, this is great. This has got to be so much fun. Everybody's winning all the time. Well, you know what? There's a few bumps in the road, isn't there?
Yeah, it was great. I mean, got to come to Toronto. I was on the most well-known, famous sports radio show in the country, and things were good. I mean, you always want – listen, there's value when a team's not doing well if you really want to do the kind of radio where you just crap on basically the teams all day, but you really want them to win. It's just more fun to live in a city when teams are doing well. The one thing I will say, John, is that I don't expect the bottom to fall out on the Leafs and the Jays. They may not win titles, but I mean, you'd have a better sense than me. I don't see the Maple Leafs not at least being contending for playoffs. And I think the Jays roster is still good enough where they're not going to go 70 and 90. But the question is, like, do I think any of the teams in the market right now are going to win a championship anytime soon? And I think if you're being honest, the answer is no.
Right. Yeah. Mediocrity. Yeah. This is a town of mediocrity right now.
Yeah. I mean, upper mediocrity.
I don't think so. I really don't.
You don't think mediocrity is like 80 and 80 in baseball as opposed to, you know, the Jays can still win 85 games. It's not, 87 games, something like that.
Isn't that mediocrity, Bob?
Well, you know, I guess it depends on what you try and do. At the beginning of every season, a fan really gets a sense of what the possibilities are, the real possibilities. And the Blue Jays are spending how many millions of dollars? They have expensive players. They are spending probably to their limit. And a performance of 500 or less is not acceptable. We were talking before we started the show about the lack of offense. I mean, it's like 18, 19 games since the Blue Jays scored 5 runs in a game or more than 5. That's not realistic. You can't be positive about that. You have to be negative. And the organization doesn't seem to acknowledge where they are, just as the Maple Leafs for 7 years have not acknowledged that this, you know, 4 guys at $11 million a year will work. It doesn't work. It hasn't worked over and over and over and over again. And it's not working now, John. You know that.
Well, it's certainly not working this weekend, that's for sure. And that actually, just to go back to the Jays, I'm not a big numbers guy and not a big analytics guy, but there is one statistic that I think is telling, and that's run differential. You know, they have scored minus 24 runs than they have actually given up. And that you're not going to be able to be successful on a consistent basis on that end basis. When you look at the teams that are in the red and go in run differential, they are the teams, the Jays, the Rays, the White Sox, the Angels, the Astros, and the Athletics. All teams under 500. Really, how do you get out of it? How do you change that? That becomes the bigger factor, particularly when, you know, you don't go and get anybody that can help you, you know, score runs in May or April or May. I mean,
forget April or May. They didn't do it in December or January either.
out.
You know, give me one good offensive player that they went and got. Just one.
They blew their wad trying to get Otani.
Tell me who they got.
No, they got no one, Bob.
Did they have a problem with offense last year?
I think they did. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah.
That was their biggest problem going into the offseason was offense. And they did nothing to help it.
Yeah. Management has said the same thing for the last 2 years now. And what they've said is, and this is what Ross Atkins said late in the year last year, is that they believe that they have enough offensive pieces to sustain winning and to sustain offense. The problem with that thesis is that if Vladdy doesn't hit, if Varsho doesn't hit, right? If Kirk doesn't hit, like, it doesn't work. Like, the thesis doesn't work. I expect Bo to hit, so I'm not putting him in there. But they made this, I mean, this is the reality of the Blue Jays. They made this sort of trade or transition from 3 years ago, 2 years ago, where they traded offense for defense. And their theory was that we can win more if we put a great defensive team around these pitchers.
Right.
We're going to give up the offense. So we give up Teoscar Hernandez, Lourdes Gurriel, et cetera. Like, and that calculation has not worked. I'm not saying that the pitching hasn't been excellent, because it has, but they're in many ways the same exact place. And the same exact place is a first round exit. So they made this transition and they made this strategy and this calculation, and it hasn't worked. The other thing too is, I just wonder just how long does this management group like sort of get the leash here, and until you want to bring in new ideas. It's interesting. The Athletic, not to say that like this means anything, but the Athletic had a big story where they did. They surveyed people in baseball who are the top 10 front offices in Major League Baseball. Do you think the Blue Jays were named in that? No. Who was? Alex Anthopoulos, number two. So I'm not a big like fire this guy, fire that guy, but I do think, and it's the same thing, John, with the Maple Leafs. At a certain point, mm-hmm. like if it doesn't work for 5, 6, 7 years, you do have to make a change. Like I like stability as a general sports fan, but I think for both those franchises at this point, their performance is telling you like the philosophy doesn't work.
You're not wrong. So they've got a new general manager who's been on the job 9 months for the Maple Leafs.
Yep.
And we've got a new CEO of the company.
Yep.
So I think now that we're in, you know, a potential change mode for the next 5 or 6 months at MLSE, when it might come to both organizations.
Well, I mean, we'll see. You know, if the
Maple it's too League... early for Keith to it's and Keith admitted that last week for with us. It's too early to create change. And
isn't over yet. Like, I mean, do I think the Bruins are going to win? Yes, but I mean, it's still got to end. Yeah. You know, let's see what happens. But yes, I'd be as surprised at this. But because I want Toronto teams to do well, and I just think it would be interesting. I would love to see them win in Boston, because I think game 6 would be really, really interesting at home. By the way, wouldn't surprise me at all if they won in Boston and lost in Toronto at all. I've always felt like I've had a pretty good feel for the Raptors. I have no feel for this Maple Leafs team. None. I couldn't tell you, like, when I think they're going to play well, they don't. And when I think they're not going to play well, they do. So I actually have no idea how they're going to play in Boston. Although I think logically, like you said, John, based on the last two periods of the last mm-hmm. game, mm-hmm. my sense is they're going to lose 4-0 in Boston.
I think you're right. And I hope so, because the last thing I want to create or see created is optimism of any kind. I mean, if the Leafs win game 5, there will be people who will get excited again, right?
Yeah.
And that's the last thing I think they need.
Excited or hopeful?
Well, both, you know, yeah. John, yeah. Both.
Yeah.
You know, from a Leaf fan perspective, the two are probably the same.
Well, yeah, there is a large portion of the fan base now that are saying a lot of what you two are saying and what people are thinking is, here we go again. When is this going to stop? When am I going to stop hitting my head against the wall?
Yeah, but I've been saying it for 5 years. Why hasn't anybody else? What are people thinking will happen? Why do you think there will be a change? You know, if you spend all your money on four offensive players and don't spend any money on anybody else, your support group is awful.
So the real question is, I mean, again, you're the hockey guy here. Can anything be done until the Tavares contract is done? Like, that's the real question is, are they hamstrung until
it
that?
It has to be, yeah.
That final year. And then so then if you extrapolate that further, the real interesting question is, would it matter if you change Keith? And would it matter if you change Shanahan? I don't think you can change Treliving because, like, you got to give the guy, I think, more than 1 year.
Sure, so I agree. Yeah.
We're talking about really the president, right? And we're talking about the theory of the head coach, but I'm not even sure.
Yeah. Neither of those guys play the game, Richard.
Right. I'm just saying, like, I don't know if you bring, I mean, you know, who's the hottest coaching candidate out there that you can bring in? Like, I don't know if there's a savior out there somehow. You bring ex coach in and things are going to change. I'm not sure that's the issue. I think the issue is, as Bob got to, like, I think structurally they have no out until one of these contracts are out. Like, that's the problem. Like, what can you do? And then they have
unless you feel so strongly, you force the issue, you know, and you do realize to what Bob has been talking about for half a decade is that this, you know, this big four thing doesn't work.
But the big four thing is over next year anyway, when the contract's up, right?
Tavares is finished.
But he's got one more year left after this.
He's got one more year. But do you, you know, do you bring him back at half that price? Do you bring him back, period? The other thing is do you want to go through another year of angst? I mean, I know it's been 57 years, but do you want to go through another year?
But I'm saying is, like, of course you don't, but like, what is the financial solution? Like, how, you can't get out of it, right?
Well, I think players have no move clauses in their contracts. Mitch Marner has a no move in his contract. But if you look, and maybe based
on what's that move? Trading Mitch Marner for like a top flight defenseman? That's your only move. And I don't know if that's a guaranteed, like, you change the course of your franchise.
Well, there are no guarantees.
But it's a start.
But I think that's the problem now.
This is not a we're gonna make one trade and turn the franchise around remedy.
Yeah.
Never the case, John.
Correct. Never. That's yeah. You're right. I mean, that's the problem. Can we suffer through in Toronto, you know, four more years of mediocrity?
I guess, the thing with the Leafs fans that's very frustrating to me is that every postseason they pick a player who becomes like the whipping player. Like right now it's Marner, but like a couple of years ago you're loving Marner because he's the best player on the ice for you. So I admit I am not the hockey expert on this panel, but I don't see a solution until the Tavares contract is ended, and then you have that money to then figure out what you're going to do next. I understand what your point is, John. If you do trade Marner, you then philosophically sort of change the whole setup of the team in terms of it's less money going to forwards and more money going elsewhere. And maybe that helps the solution, but this team to me, there's a lot of things that have to be done. I mean, does anybody feel confident in the goaltending? Like, do you think?
Oh, of course not. No. Yeah.
I don't feel like Samsonov or Wall can win me four series right now.
I tell you what, I think that there's a real dilemma of who's even going to start in game five.
Yeah. I'd start Wall, but I bet you Keith starts Samsonov.
I'd start Wall too.
Look, yeah. We talk about trading somebody, but the one guy we never talk about is trading Matthews. Here's a guy who scored 69 goals. Do you not think you can get two, maybe three good NHL players for Matthews. There is some organization out there that says, if we get Matthews, we win the Stanley Cup. There's some organization that believes that. And I think you've got to look at it. You cannot take any name off the table.
I disagree with you, Bob. I think that he's the untouchable.
Yeah,
I think he is the untouchable, but I don't think he should be.
Oh no, I think you have to start somewhere, and you have to start with something.
No, you don't, John. No, you don't.
No, you do.
You don't have to start with some. They've had something for 7 years, for Christ's sake, and done nothing.
But that doesn't speak to Matthews. That speaks to.
Yes, it does. No, yes, it does. It's not. How many game winning goals is he scored in the playoffs?
This is not a one person sport. This is not like the National Football League.
I get it. I understand.
So you need to start with some cornerstone, and Matthews is a good cornerstone.
Well, 69 goals. He's not, John, but if he is the cornerstone, he has failed for 7 years. 7 years, John.
Well, I know, but you can't sit here and now revise history and say, as an 18-year-old, this guy was supposed to drive the boat. You know, you learn and you work through the process, and so by the time you're 25, 26, 27, you can.
No, those are excuses.
That's a reality, Bob.
It's not a reality. It's your reality, John.
It's taken Connor McDavid this long.
Well, okay,
It's taken Connor McDavid this long, and now, you know, the Oilers are reaping the benefits of what he's done and how he's grown.
Yeah. Well, guess what? They pay Matthews as much as McDavid.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And McDavid, at least, is achieving. His team, hopefully, is achieving something.
Well, they're up 3-1, not down 3-1.
What have the Maple Leafs achieved since Matthews got here? What?
Oh, they've only been able to get to one round of the playoffs. It's
he's achieved nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing.
What's I think the one thing too, yeah, I'm with John. I wouldn't trade him, obviously, but you got to keep the course. But
sanity finally shows up.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Like, actually, I don't even know this. Like, when he just signed his new contract, John, does he have he must have some kind of no trade clause with certain teams, right? So you can only trade him to a handful anyway, or no?
I think it's a full no move.
Full no move. Okay, so you can't really.
So, and basically what that means, Richard, and we got to go to break here, but what that means is he gets to decide where he goes.
Yeah, exactly.
when he wants to go, he walks into the manager's offices and says, "Brad, we're leaving. Yeah. Send me here.
Trade me to the Kings.
Trade me to, I was going to say Arizona, but that's not possible. Well, it might be possible by the time.
Utah. Trade me to Utah, bro.
Hey, we'll take a quick break and we'll convince Bob not to trade Matthews during the break. Back after this. Welcome back. You know, the one part where Bob's actually right. I can't believe I'm saying because in watching Saturday, and we know Austin Matthews is sick. He's under the weather to the point where the doctors pulled him for the third period. But what we saw last night in Nashville from the Vancouver Canucks was two players who said, you know what, we're down 3-1 with 4 minutes to go. Screw it. We are going to do everything. The will to win last night from Brock Besser and JT Miller. I'll be honest. I don't think I've seen it like that in 40 years. It was unbelievable. And applying that to what we see in Toronto is very frustrating, because I think fans will say, well, why can't our guys have that same will to win?
Yeah.
And the mental state that goes along with that.
Yeah. I'm happy to see Vancouver and Edmonton do well. I'd like to see a Canadian team go far. I think, as has been stated, you know, in this market a million times, The Leafs have some bad roster construction, and yes, and it's not an easy solution. Also, like, I think Morgan Riley's an excellent player, but he's not, you know, he's not a Norris Trophy winning defenseman. And yeah, like, they don't have the pieces which the teams that have won Stanley Cups have. And it's not an easy solution. And then to get back to what Bob did.
Yes, it is. It is easy.
Well, Dubas rolled.
Spend $50 million
but on that, but player. That, but the problem is, like, that's done. Like, Dubas made a decision and that decision failed. So they.
But you've got to undo that decision.
What I'm saying is, you can't undo it until next. In my opinion, you can't undo it until next year.
Maybe,
true. That's my thought.
But you have to make a commitment.
I mean, the one thing I think you can guarantee is if Brad Treliving is the GM, there's no chance they'll ever go this deep in terms of paying that kind of money to four forwards ever again. That'll never happen.
And so in doing that, are you admitting that the next 3 or 4 years are going to be a struggle?
I think next year will be their toughest challenge to make the playoffs. Yes, next year. I think they won't, but I think if you look at the team next year, you know, you're not sure what's going to happen. Like, Bertuzzi's a 1 year, right? Domi's 1 year.
You're the general manager.
Brody's, right? I mean, like, they got
Brody's,
a lot of
Brody's done.
Right, Brody's, I'm saying, Brody's like, done. So they got a lot of, they have a lot of roster spots that they're going to have to figure out next year.
Are you bringing Bertuzzi back?
I would not bring him back.
Are you bringing Domi back?
No. I mean, obviously, for me to say this in a vacuum, I need to see the money, but like.
Well, the money's easy on Max.
No,
that's $3.5 million.
So. No, I wouldn't bring either back. And by the way, I like both players, but no, I wouldn't. I would change that up. I think Brody's done. You agree?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Brody. I feel badly for TJ. He just can't play anymore.
No, but he's had a great career. Eventually, time catches you. He's been awesome. But
Treliving needs $15 million in order to redo this roster. Yeah, and I mean, how do you get it? You trade one of the big guys.
Nice, Robertson. Like, big questions for them is, like, do they have some young forwards with prospects?
Well, yes, a little bit, but.
No, that's that. And right now, by the way, they don't have many prospects.
No, they don't.
And their best prospect is their goaltender on the American League team, Hildeby. He's the best prospect they have. But
why isn't he playing?
What about the kid from London, who they drafted?
Yeah, there's still a couple. There are a couple of draft picks and 18-year-olds that are playing in junior hockey that could probably help. But as I said, those guys are 4 years away from contributing
This, you know, this is what you in a. And again, I supported the move then, so I don't want to be a Monday morning quarterback. But in a market like this, you go for it. You know, you traded your first round pick for Ryan O'Reilly, right? I mean, this is what Dubas gave up a lot of these assets to go for it, and it didn't work.
Yeah, multiple years. I mean, the year and before was Nick.
They Kalina. Got the. This is something obviously that just was tragic. The kid that they drafted from Russia, obviously, who died, like, you could have never seen that as well. So they've had some bad luck too, but they're, I mean, I feel bad for Leafs fans because I don't think the next 16 to 18 months are going to be optimistic. I think you got to, as Bob said, in some ways, it's like a minimum, you don't blow up everything, but it's like a minimum, it's like a part blow up to me.
What would you do, John?
Oh, I'd trade Marner tomorrow.
Okay, there you go.
I would try to, you know, and
for what? For what? That's the real.
Well, I mean, but that's part of the challenge is that, you know, he's expensive, and this is, you know, what's happening in the NHL is the same thing that's happened in the NBA. It's cash in, cash out, right, Richard?
Yeah.
So
would you trade Nylander?
I would not trade Nylander.
I would not, nor would I.
I would the two guys I would keep are Nylander and Matthews.
I like Nylander's contract given the production now, Bob.
Well, the new contract's coming though. I mean, it's $11 million. It's not cheap.
You have two of the most selfish players.
No, who?
Nylander and Matthews.
Oh no, I think you're wrong, Bob.
Look at the stats. Watch Nylander play. He wants the puck himself.
He was their best player in the playoffs last year.
Last 3 years, Richard, he's been the best.
Bob, you've always been down on Nylander. I disagree with you. I like Nylander. I'm a Nylander guy.
I actually
finishing out of the playoffs. You too.
I think William.
You're both idiots. If you think you should keep these guys.
No, I'm only keeping two of them.
John's training Marner, Bob.
I'm training Marner, and you're putting John Tavares in a position of the last year of his deal.
Well, that's John Tavares' situation.
Yeah,
I like John Tavares. Would I trade him if I could? Sure, but I'm not worried about the fact that he got the 7-year contract or whatever.
Yeah, no one's going to trade for that. That's the problem.
Nobody is.
Yeah,
and he deserves what he gets.
I don't want a Monday morning quarterback myself because I think at the time, I remember, I think I was in New York then. Like, I thought it was a cool move for the Maple Leafs. I mean, John Tavares was 28 and one of the best players in the NHL. So you thought, oh my God, these guys, no one's going to stop these guys. Their offense is incredible. It didn't work out, but, you know, I understood the basis. John, I think if you traded Marner, to get back to your thought, mm-hmm. don't you have to trade him for a top flight defenseman?
Yeah. Oh, no question.
Yeah.
There's no question. You have to get, I mean, I'm even arguing you might have to get two. Try to find two defensemen. Or a defenseman and a goalie or a good defensive forward. But, and you look at, these things are doable. Because the best example of this was what happened in Winnipeg last year. They had a guy in Pierre-Luc Dubois who was, didn't want to play in Winnipeg. They thought that everybody thought he had the team over the barrel. He ended up getting traded to Los Angeles, and they got three players and a draft pick for him. Two of them became really, really valuable members to the success of the Jets. Now, the Jets have kind of hit a wall in the playoffs too, but certainly turned the fortunes of the franchise around in Winnipeg and Gabe Vilardi and Alex Iafallo. So these things are doable, and that's going to be Brad Treliving's biggest challenge. First of all, to decide exactly what surgery needs to take place on this club, and then being able to play a game of poker with another manager.
Well, I'll tell you what Treliving's first question is, do you change the coach?
I think he will. I would be stuck. What about you, John? If they lose in the first round, by the way, I think Sheldon Keefe's a good coach. I just think they're going to make that trade. He's going to bring in his own guy. I can't see him not doing that.
I think so.
It's either that or extend him. He's not going to coach with the.
He did get extended last summer.
So. I know. I'm saying, but you can't bring him back unless you extend him again, and I don't think he's going to do it.
So I understand the logic, but let me ask you this: the only way you do it is if you have somebody better waiting in the wings.
But that's
Maybe Brad's better.
Oh no. There are,
What do you mean? Oh no, John! You keep going back to.
Oh no, but no, not everybody's better, Bob. Not everybody's better. That's my point. You said everybody's better. That's not true. Not everybody.
Well, everybody's better in their mind, right?
Well, listen, Sheldon.
They have to make a change in coach.
I think they have to change something. Yeah, you're right.
I don't think Sheldon Keefe necessarily is to blame for any of this, but I'm with. I just think, John, that there's no way you're going to bring this guy back if they go out in round one. I think if you're Brad Treliving, you have to try to change the culture of everything. And generally speaking, changing coaches is the easy way to do that. I'm not saying it's going to be successful. I think the larger, bigger question for him is, Does he have, like, is there a route to make these guys better? And I don't know. The other, you know, I don't want to make excuses for the Leafs, but, like, in many ways, they're like the Jays. They're in such a tough division that.
But why has Billy Zito been able to do deals? Why, what has Don Sweeney done in Boston to maintain a level of intensity? Where is that here?
Well,
from a fan base perspective, that's the frustration.
But here's what I would say to that. And I think this
Julian Brisebois in Tampa has been able to reconstruct their roster over the same period of time. Why hasn't that happened in Toronto?
The Bruins one I can give you. The Bruins one is their star players took far less money and allowed the general manager to build around them. Pasternak, Bergeron, and Marchand are undervalued based on their performance.
That has always been the Boston trait.
Again, where Matthews, Nylander, Tavares, nobody took a discount. And in a salary cap league, I get it. Like, players should get all they want, but there is, if you do have some players who take less money, you can build a good team around them. And that is why the Bruins have been great, is because their stars have been traditionally underpaid or undervalued on the market. Again, I'm very much a player advocate, so I don't want to necessarily say I'm for this, but Tom Brady's another example. He took far less money than he was worth for years, and he allowed the Patriots to build the
and route. By the way, kept That's renegotiating usually, his deal so that he could get wide receivers.
I'm just saying, like, I mean, it's sort of sucks that your best players have to do this, but in many ways, that's kind of the way you win in professional sports, is if your best players don't take the fullest market value.
Crosby in Pittsburgh is an example.
Yeah, 100%. And that's how they won. I'm not blaming the Leafs players, but when they look back, you know, Matthews or Nylander, whoever, are going to have to be like, you know, if we took $2 million less in this year, maybe we got a defenseman who could have helped us. Like, that's the reality. No,
okay, 100%. So before we go, one last quick question. You weigh in which way you want. Who has bigger decisions to make this summer, Brad Treliving or Keith Pelley? Bob?
Well, I don't know whether, you know, everybody looks at Pelley's job as kind of the guy who can make all these changes. Well, traditionally, that has not been the case. The president of MLSC runs the business, not the teams.
Yeah.
Not the teams. Now, will Pelley change that? I don't know.
Well, it has changed.
Why?
Masai and Brendan report to Keith. He told us that on the show.
Was that not the case before?
No. Those two guys reported directly to the board. He negotiated that in his deal.
Okay. Well.
Okay, Richard. So, Treliving or Pelley?
When is the NHL deal coming up?
which one? The TV
media deal? Rights deal. The bid. The
Well, the national one's in 2 years.
All right, so that's not – and Pelley would be part of that, but not next year.
Well, but he's not negotiating it. He's not in that world. You got to let the commissioner still do his job,
Richard. Yeah, I'm going to say Treliving next year or this coming year has more decisions to make than Keith Pelley. Because the reality is Keith Pelley's not going to blow the Raptors up. The Raptors have already been blown up, right? So Masai, Bobby Webster, not going anywhere. You know, Pelley may have a decision with Brendan Shanahan, but I think Treliving, this is the offseason that Treliving really gets to sort of put a stamp on the team.
Yeah, he gets to do what he wants.
Yeah, this is his offseason because it's a full offseason. And I think if you're a Leafs fan, one reason for optimism is Kyle Dubas was too close to these guys. You agree? These were his guys. He couldn't. It was probably a little too emotional, and I think Treliving doesn't have that same attachment to Marner and whoever else. That's just my read.
And too attached to the coach.
Definitely. Really? Yeah. I think, you know, and it's a good trade to Dubas. I think he took care of Keith, but I don't think Treliving has that attachment.
It's funny. The series is not over.
I know. We're talking like this has like been a an autopsy, it's not over yet. You're right.
And
it is over, John.
It's over, Bob. All right, Bob says it's over.
And there's still and with 2 days off between games, it'll just, you know, ferment the discussion even even more.
By the way, the good news is I'm coming back on this podcast from what I understand later this week.
Don't put yourself. Yeah, you are actually. Yes, you are. Good point.
Why?
Well, he's replacing me for a day.
Oh, really? Good.
Yeah.
I look forward to seeing you then.
I look forward to it too, Bob. It's great. Okay. Takeover.
Yeah, Richard will be here Friday as I'm in St. John's, Newfoundland for Bob Cole's funeral. So
yeah, it's what a life.
We're sorry to hear that.
And that Bob Cole had. Do we have a guest Friday yet, John? Or we're working on that.
I have to do that too.
I can get one. Easy enough.
Tell you what, we'll talk offline without Bob.
Offline.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, boys.
Thanks, pal.
Richard Deitz, John Shannon, Bob McCowan, back after this. So it's interesting. We got sidetracked with the Maple Leafs. How concerned are you about the Jays? Seriously.
Well,
is this just going to be it? They're going to win two, lose three, win three, lose two. Is this what we're going to see all season?
Probably. They are a mediocre team with no offense. And you can't win 90 games with no offense. You can't. Their pitching is great. And that's why they'll win 80 games probably.
Yeah.
But they won't win 90.
Yeah, I think they're a 500 team.
Ridiculous offense.
I think they're a 500 team. I really do. 81 well, and 81.
Probably they are.
Yep. 81 and 81. So, all right. Well, we'll see. Hey, we got Doug McClain, our pal, coming tomorrow.
Okay.
He's going to talk baseball.
No, he's not at all. Not even a little bit.
No, but
anything. He barely knows hockey.
He will have an interesting take on a few things going on in the National Hockey League. Talk to you tomorrow, Bob.
We'll see. Okay, bye, John. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening or watching the McCowan Podcast.
It's the Bob McCowan Podcast, brought to you by Bet Rivers. Download their online casino and sportsbook app today.